It says, the Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is with, where? Within me. My integrity that's within me. God has a meter, and when we stand before God and we stand on his integrity meter, it will let us know where we're at. Are we really a person of integrity?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady, Part 2.
Psalm 26, we're going to finish up what we started last week, Psalm 26. And I just want to say, Lord willing, we are going to launch our discipleship focus next week. So just be in prayer as we prepare to bring that. Psalm 26 is a psalm of David, a powerful psalm where David talks about his integrity. He says in verse 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, prove me, test my heart and my mind. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers,
and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may make known with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, and the congregations will I bless the Lord. We started a message last week entitled, Are You an Honest Abe or a Shady Grady? And that's the question that we put before you today again. Are you an honest Abe or are you a Shady Grady? Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we thank you how that you see our hearts. And Lord, as I said last week, we can fool some of the people some of the time, and we might even be able to fool all the people all the time, but we can't fool you none of the time. And so thank you that you are a God like that. And so, Father, I pray that you would take this message today and that you would challenge our hearts, Lord, and that you would allow us to be people who love you. And that as we love you, Lord, that our lives are connected to the truth and that the truth would run in our systems. And now, Father, as we come, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at Psalm 26, we gave an outline last week, and we said that there's a threefold movement in Psalm 26. First of all, David's talking about his integrity, and he lets us know that his integrity is revealed in verses 1 through 3. And then we see, as we'll continue to look at this morning, we'll see integrity reviewed in verses 4 through 6. And then we'll finish up this morning with integrity rewarded. Amen. I like that right there. I like that because God does not let your integrity go unnoticed. And so your integrity will be rewarded. And we see that in verses 7 through 12. We talked about what is integrity. What is integrity? And the word integrity comes from a Hebrew word that was found in Leviticus 1:3 and is used of animal sacrifices. And the word here that he uses when he talks about integrity means that he is without blemish. That he, if you look at his character, if you look at his conscience, if you look at his conduct, he is without blemish or without taint. That there is nothing in his character. If someone was to come and try to accuse him or point a finger, that there would be nothing that they could point at, because he is without taint in his conscience, character, and his conduct. Now remember last week I said it doesn't mean that you are sinless, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. It don't mean that you don't have your faults. But it means as life goes that your integrity means that you are without taint in your conscience, that there's nothing in your conscience that's condemning you, that as far as your character is concerned, that you are an honest Abe and you're not a shady Grady. There's nothing in your character that can be tainted. And then in the way that people observe you and the things that you do in your conduct, that there is no way that you can be have blame. And then we talked about integrity being demonstrated. And we said that integrity is demonstrated when you mean what you say. That when you say something, that you mean it. That you live the way you say you believe. That you do not pretend to be something that you are not. That you have motives that are pure and unhidden. That you're not trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. That when you know you do something, you're doing it with the purest of motives, and you're not trying to come in the back door and sneak and connive. We said that you are honest with God about the real you. And you know what? Just go on and be honest with God about the real you. He already knows who you are anyway. Just get bare before him and open up your heart and open up your soul and let him. Don't try to hide anything from him. Don't try to sugarcoat it, or don't try to cover it up like Adam and Eve did. Don't try to get some fig leaves and try to hide it. Just go ahead and open it up, because he already knows the real you. So just be honest with God about who you are. That means you can be trusted to do what you promise. That if you made a promise, if you said you were going to do something, that you can be trusted to fulfill the promise that you made. It means that you do not misrepresent the facts. That you do not shade, or as I said last week, we don't, as Christians, I know that in the world it seems to be fashionable, but as Christians, we don't tell little white lies. You know, we tell the truth, all right? We are truthful. That if you are so filled with integrity that if somebody was to cut you, you wouldn't even bleed red substance coming out of your body. You would bleed integrity. That's how deep the integrity is in running in the veins of your very existence, that you don't misrepresent the facts. And then you do not teach others something that you will not do. And I don't have my hookup this week, but you remember last week, you know, we talked about the fact that this microphone is actually connected to a power source. And that power source is the truth. And this is my integrity right here. This microphone and this wire is my integrity. And so if I am a person of integrity, then my wire is connected to what? It's connected to the truth. And so I just can't, you know, if I'm connected to the truth, then the truth will be in me and the truth will go everywhere that I go. But people who are shady Grady's, what do? They disconnect from the truth. And either they hook up with a lie, or they're just out there being blown around and tossed by every wind that goes around. So we said that integrity is connected to the truth. And that if you are a person that's honest and you are a person that's truthful, then you are a person of integrity, that you are connected to the truth. And then I had a little diagram that I threw up on the screen last week, and it was called an integrometer. If you remember, an integrity meter. And in that, you know, Job 31, and I like Psalm 7. Since we're in the book of Psalms, let's look there real quick, the book of Psalms, and we see that God has an integrity meter that he weighs us on. An integrity meter. Psalm 7. In verse 8, it says, "The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is with," where? Within me. My integrity that's within me. God has a meter, and when we stand before God and we stand on his integrity meter, it will let us know where we're at. Are we really a person of integrity? And then we looked at last week, integrity revealed in verses 1 through 3. Integrity revealed. Now I'm just going to read these real quick. He says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. And so David says here, Lord, that you know me and that you are the one that's judging me, that I don't worry about other people judging me, and I'm not worried about what other people think, because I know that as long as I'm walking in my integrity, as long as I am walking connected to the truth, Lord, you know. You know. And so I put my trust in that. I have trusted in the Lord, and he says, therefore I shall not slide, that whenever I'm judged, I won't be moved, that I won't be moved to the left or the right. I won't slide to the left or the right. Why? Because I'm standing on my integrity. He says in verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Test me and my heart and my mind. And we said that this is an examination by touch, smell, and by fire. David said, touch me, Lord. Squeeze me. Lord, fondle me all over. Lord, just know where my weak parts are. Know where my strengths are. Lord, know when I'm telling the truth and you know when I'm lying. Just touch me all over. Examine me. And then not only that, Lord, but cut me open and smell me. And Lord, I pray that when you take a good whiff of me, that you smell integrity, that the aroma that's rising out from my innermost being is integrity. And then he said, try me by fire. Lord, test me. Try me by fire. And then we talked about integrity being revealed through a lifestyle, that you have a lifestyle that's focused on God's loving kindness, that if I'm looking at God who saved me, who showed me his loving kindness, that I want to do everything in my power to walk in integrity. If I'm keeping my eyes on God and I'm focusing on him, then I want to do everything that I can to walk right and to live a life that pleases him. And then he talked about a lifestyle that's connected to God's truth in verse 3. He said, I have walked in thy truth, that I'm connected to your truth and I've walked in your truth. So let's pick up the message today in verse 4. And we see here integrity reviewed. And I'm just going to go through this section real quick. If you had your notes from last week, you'll see that I put it in the notes. But I just want to go through this real quick, because what David is trying to say is that as you look at his life, that you could see integrity. Amen. That as you look at his life, now once again, notice what he's done. In verses 1 through 3, what did he do? He opened up his inner soul. He opened up his inmost being and said, God, look at me. Lord, you know. So he started inside of himself. And now he moves to the outside. And he said, Lord, what's in me is coming out of me now. And so if I'm a person of integrity, people ought to be able to look at my life. Once again, it's already been established in verses 1 through 3 that I'll bleed integrity if I'm cut. It's already been established. So now in verses 4 through 6, he said, look at my life. Verses 1 through 3, God, you look at my inner part. In verses 4 through 6, you look at my outward part. And look what he says here. First of all, he says that he has avoided fellowship with the deceitful. In verse 4, he said, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Vain persons are people who are deceitful. The dissemblers are the hypocrites. So he says, first of all, I've avoided fellowship. And as I've said here before, and I know y'all gonna get tired of hearing me say it, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. David said here, look at my friends. He said, look at my friends and you can tell that I'm a person of integrity. He said, because I have not fellowship with a vain person. He said, I have not sat with hypocrites in verse 4. Then in verse 5, he lets us know he avoids the desire to be with evildoers. Now, I'm going through this quick because I'm getting to a point. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. So he said that, you know, I don't even have a desire to be with people who commit evil. Now, I'll go with them, you know, to witness to them. If they have a need, I'll try to reach out and meet their need. But I'm not going to have my fellowship with people who love to do evil. People who are out here perpetrating evil. That's not going to be where my fellowship is. David said, I've tried to avoid those people because of this integrity that's in me. And once again, because we can get wrong and we can say, well, you know, David had a holier-than-thou attitude. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. David is getting raw before God. He already asked God to examine his inward part. And he said, now you look at my outward life and you can see from my outward life. And I'm not trying to be holier than anybody. I'm not trying to be better than anybody. This is just the way that I'm guided in life. And like I said, I might be around evil people. You know, I might have people in my family that are evil. And there may be 4th of July and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I got to be with them. And I'm going to be with them. And I'm going to, you know, enjoy my time with them. But that's not going to be where my fellowship is at. I'm not going to have a desire. It's not going to be a desire like the Bible says in Psalm 42. As the heart pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after God. And so my desire is not going to be around evil folk. And so that's David's desire. He said, look at my life. Not only does he have a desire not to be with evil people, but he said that he would avoid the fellowship of the wicked. Verse 5 again, I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. The word sit means to fellowship with. And then in verse 6, he says that he would wash his hands and that he would not have dirty hands, that you would not find his hands in the stealing from somebody else, that you would not find his hands shortchanging somebody else, that you would not find his hands getting over on somebody else. Look what he says. He said, I will wash my hands in innocence, so will I compass thine altar. Now, the reason I rushed through that is because, you know, we could get to the place and say, well, you know what? You know, I'm right where David is, you know. You know, I mean, I'm not doing those things. And, you know, we can, you know, stick out our thumb and pull up a plum and say, what a good fellow am I, right? And we can proclaim our own goodness, all right? But what does Paul tell us? Paul says, don't give any place to the devil. That this is what David is saying here. He says that when you look at my life, I haven't given a place for the devil. And I've said it from this pulpit on many times before. And the fact is that, you know, what it means is that there's no handle in your life, that there's nothing that Satan can come and grab a hold on to. All right. And that's what David is saying. David is saying that I have walked in my integrity, and I know that I know that I know that if Satan came, there's nothing that he would have a handle to grab a hold on to. Is that true of your life? See, that's why I say it. Integrity means what? That you are without taint in conscious character and conduct. So are you sitting here today as an individual that if Satan came to your life, that there would be something he could grab a hold on to? Would to God that we would all be like this pulpit. That if you try to grab this pulpit, there's nothing. There's nothing you can hold on to. And would to God that all of our lives, and I pray especially for my life, that, Lord, if the devil was to come and try to grab a handle on some evil that he could run with in my life, that he would not be able to hold on to it. I tell people all the time, I say, you know what? I'm afraid. I'm afraid to be unfaithful. You know why I'm afraid? I'm afraid, first of all, because I don't want to disappoint God. I'm afraid, second of all, because I know that it would disqualify for me to preach his word. And I'm afraid because I'm not know my wife, man. I'd be in my grave. I'm afraid. And I love my wife too much, you know, to do that. I mean, my wife just in every way meets, and I thank God for her. She, you know, meets my needs in every way. So I don't have to try to wander off or anything like that. But you know, I just look at a lot of people, man, that, you know, if you were to come, I mean, look at these politicians. And you come to find out all this stuff years later about things that they were doing and things that they were into. And here they were, you know, one guy could have been the president of the United States. And he had all this stuff going on. And nobody knew about it at the time, except for a few people. But if Satan was to come in his life at that time, he would have had a handle. There would have been something that he was able to grab a hold on to. And so I pray for every Bethany member. I pray in the morning for Bethany. And I say, God, be with the members of this church. And, Lord, protect them and keep them safe, Lord, and keep them with a good testimony. And that if Satan was to come and try to grab a handle on their life, there's nothing that he would be able to grab a hold on to. And that's what David is saying here in verses 4 through 6. He said, I have not put myself in a position, or I have not done things that if the enemy was to come and try to grab a hold on me, there would be nothing that he could grab a hold on to. So since many of us will say, well, you know, I'm pretty much like David. I'm not there. You know, I thank God for the people that work with the AV, because I gave them something during the service. And I said, hey, can you guys put this up on the screen? And so, you know, they got it together, and hopefully they got it ready to go. And We just praise the Lord. So, but there's a series of questions that I threw out, and I've given this in a couple areas in the church. But when we talk about integrity, you know, there are some things that we want to, you know, view, and certain areas that we want to look at and view integrity. So I'm just going to run through these real quick. So family, all right, you can hold it up there. Family, if we are people of integrity, is there any unresolved conflict between you and your spouse? Handle. Got mighty quiet in here. Handle. Have you neglected your spouse or your family? Have you spent time in prayer and devotion with your spouse and family? Have you spent quality time cultivating your marriage? And have you served your spouse and family? No handle. No handle. See, once again, you know, we can say, well, you know, David put the bar here, and I can reach that bar that David put. Pastor Glaze put it up a little bit higher, all right? So we're giving you something a little bit more to shoot for. Family, moving right on. Work, how about on your job? Are you giving an honest day's work? We talk about being people of integrity, that if you cut me, I'm going to bleed integrity, that I'm giving an honest day's work. Have you taken any materials from your job unauthorized? Oh, hallelujah. We'll lighten up on that one a little bit, because, you know, some employers do have that understanding that you can transfer stuff, you know. There's that understanding. So we do. All right. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about being people of integrity, right? That if your employer was to come to your house and see something from the job, would he or she be all right with that? Would they say, oh, that's cool, that's cool? Or would you be slipping and dodging and running around trying to hide up what, I took that thing from the job. I don't want my boss to see it. All right. What about personal? You know, is there any unresolved sin in your life? Have you committed any sexual sins? Did you look at someone lustfully? Have you been alone in a compromising situation? Have you been flirtatious? Have you struggled with pornographic, sexually oriented material? You know, we're talking about integrity. You know, you're a person of integrity. Have you been prideful? Have you gossiped? Do you have an angry spirit? Have you been slothful? Have you been greedy? Have you been slanderous? See, what did David say? David said, look at my life. You can look at my life and see that I'm a person of integrity. These things right here, these are characteristics of people of integrity. Next, have you been completely above reproach in your financial dealings? Like I said last week, you know, it's tax time, right? Tax time is coming up. And it's easy to start to fudge and nibble and all this kind of stuff, but have you been completely above reproach? Have you been trustworthy? Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you cheated? Have you been dishonest or manipulative? You know, are you a person of integrity? Integrity review. How about your health? Have you taken care of the temple of the Holy Spirit with the proper sleep, rest, exercise, healthy eating, etc.? What about addictions? What about gluttony? What about substance abuse? See, these are things that, you know, we begin to look at our lives and we begin to examine our lives and say, where am I at in my walk with Christ? Is there anything that has consumed me? Is there anything, you know, I might not be out here taking drugs, but, you know, has food consumed me? Have I let that become, you know, my God? All right. Did I have anything else up there? Is that the last one? Okay. Ministry. Have you shared your faith? You know, I'm getting ready to start this thing on discipleship next week, right? And, you know, we're gonna bring it down. What is a disciple of Christ? You know, have you shared your faith? Are you financially robbing God?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Integrity, Are You Honest Abe or Shady Grady, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.